But I just want to double check.
Yeah,
okay.
No,
hi, it's Brenda Giffin, National Film and Sound Archives and Indigenous Team. This is 16th of October 2013. This is part of the Casamol History Project, and I've got the pleasure of sitting down and talking to Kano. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I thought we'd start off with asking you about your involvement with CASM. You were a student. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Well, first, my tribal name is Kanaga Ramajari, and that means a holy warrior walking between two worlds. I'm a Southern lawman, Ramajari man, and how it came about for me is that I was camping in the parklands one night near the statue opposite from the Women and Children's Hospital there, and I saw a group of black brothers walking towards away from where I was, and so I ended up following them, and they walked into the building, which I discovered was Aboriginal Studies and Music for Aboriginal people. But what surprised me was I saw a group of blackfellas playing classical music, and I never saw that before, because I saw TV and listened to people playing music, but I never seen a group of our own people playing classical music, and it was mind-boggling for me. And I was intrigued, and so I walked into the door and made myself known, and I realised that there was the people I was following was from a distance, was relations of mine, because I knew the other lady that was there at the time, who was teaching and playing trombo, and Anilita Rankin. Yeah, and and I saw my cousins and that playing piano, one playing violin, and another one playing trumpet and saxophone or something like that. And and my auntie explained to me what it was all about, and I was actually there with a couple of other brothers of mine, and I said, "Aunt," I said, "we would love to play music like that, but can you see us playing that?" She said, "Oh, hell no, you know." I said, "Well, classical music is not my wassail," so I said, "Oh, maybe to play guitar and play a bit of country and rock and roll or whatever." And anyway, we had a bit of a yarn, and she said, "Well, now you have to come and learn, play music and read music and all that stuff." I was a bit slower on the intake of understanding the music language, but I understand it now a lot better than before. The point was Snooky Bacco, myself, and Gladys Knight, and Charles, what's the other name? One of the other brothers who was there with us, and we set up a band called Muthrook. And only our auntie, Lila, she was excited about because she was fighting for us to get an electric band in there. And when she realised that we called ourselves Muthrook, which means crab, she was standing there with a broom in her hand looking to crown us with it. She said, "I fought hard for you to get here, and what's when you go and make me shame like that and you call yourself that?" she said. and anyway, it was about 8 months before No Fixed Address came about then. And it was Les Graham and Bart Willoughby and a few other fellows. And they started the No Fixed Address, and not long after that, around about the same time Ask Mob was involved. And but the pleasure of me being involved in it was as a part of history for CASM. I'm also the spokesperson for the Ramajari Nation. I'm also the chairman for the Ramajari Heritage. And and I also was the chairman for Aboriginal Black Death in Custody. Now, there was a interview that was done with myself and Angelina many years ago, which I believe Chester Schwartz got a record of. So if people want to, if you want to discuss more about that. So practically I was involved in rights for our people, as well as fighting for equal rights and opportunity for with Angelina and other people. Now, Angelina set the pace for us mob, because she was a strong and proud black woman from Raakon, and she was educated enough to help set up a music for with others for our people, and the day I walked into that building, myself and many other students had never looked back, and her and all the other elders at the time, who we still admire and still respect, and some are still living, do support what we achieved as a part of history. And over the years, I have seen a lot of great talent coming and going through Chasm. And the reason why I say that is because after I left Chasm, I decided to seriously set up the Aboriginal security team for our people, in support of doing shows and functions for Chasm as well. And every year since they started to up to this day, we have always done security function every year for Chasm as a part of the ongoing history with them. And therefore, I'm qualified to say that we have seen a lot of great talent from all around the country. I'm talking about young black people and old people all around the country who come and studied their music and excelled and went on to even putting themselves on national TV, like Australian X Factor and Australian Idol and all that. And so we had a few students from Catherine who've been a part of that, it's really a morale booster for all our people to see black brothers getting up there, having a go, and promoting not only their identity as an Aboriginal person, but as a musical talent.
That's great. And you're saying, like, you know, well, Australia Got Talent, Lovegrove, you know, Lovegrove, the family, like, they've been involved, they're, you know, the community, but they've been involved throughout this journey with Chasm, as a family.
Yeah.
But, you know, and to see somebody, you know, my little kid was watching him, you know, 14-year-old boy, looking at that black girl there,
yeah.
Lovegrove,
yeah.
And seeing, and that's that next generation. But this Lovegrove family, they've been involved with Chasm all the way through. And it's really, really great to see, like you're saying, that next generation of Aboriginal musicians coming up and, you know, just representing where we didn't have,
yeah.
When you're saying, you know, you're talking about the history of,
yeah.
Before all this, there wasn't so much of a chance to represent, you know, and this is what you're saying, through, you know, music, getting up, you know, like people like Bart used to play horn with him. You know, We Have Survived, Anthem.
Mm.
And this is... And Aunt Layla, strong black woman who actually pulled it together and helped that generation and, you know, future generations of Aboriginal musicians see it, you know, as an opportunity and seize it and run with it.
Just to pick on the Lovegrove family, Brother Louie Lovegrove, Ali's father. Now, we had to muck around and play with a guitar and sing that years ago, but he was also one of the main players for me to get involved in security. So I'm aware the young Ellie, she done good for promoting our people on an international level. And I would love to see more and more students that come to Chasm to continue down that path, because what that not only just identifies, it's great credit to the teachers and of Chasm, who've been a part of Chasm for years and seen a lot of young fellows coming and going. But to be a part of something on an international level, of seeing them getting on national TV and giving them the right tools to follow to become a professional icon, if you want to put it that way. Not so much of an entertainer, but an icon for our people. Because, and I say that with great pleasure and great pride, because the sad thing is that we as a community have to still show each other great support, and whether it's through music, whether it's through understanding the different issues of politics that may be involved in this. But what a lot of people don't understand is that it took a lot of hard work and dedication by elders, Anil Ila and others, as well as a lot of white fellows who supported it, you know. And that's why it's important to understand what from a Wurundjeri point of view, is why we say Wurundjeri, because Wurundjeri means black fellow, white fellow dreaming together. And so CASM has demonstrated that not only to myself, but also to my tribe. And we salute CASM and all its members, as from teachers, from the new and to the old, along with the students who are becoming teachers as well. So, and on behalf of the Wurundjeri Nation, and as well as the SAS for Aboriginal and Security team that I've been involved in over the years, we have always supported CASM, and we will always continue in the future.
That's great, Kana. I'm going to ask you one more question. With your security work,
mm-hmm.
Aboriginal people, you know, looking at 2013,
mm-hmm.
It's great to see that, because, like, we have, you know, annual events like Survivor Day, like your festivals around here.
Yeah.
It's really great to see that you have Aboriginal security, because, you know, we know some of the challenges that, you know, when you have a lot of people there, you know, the mainstream perception of. And the other thing is, like, it'd be great to see more, like, you've got security and have Aboriginal production houses where you can, you know, you've got Grayson here, but, you know, actually have something where you could ring and one spot, one shop stop, where you can have, you know, Aboriginal production. So you have the crew who does the sound, you have the roadies, you have your you have the event or coordinator, you have the security. Is that something that I'm just asking you, because I think that would be, this isn't really chasm, but looking towards the future, something that would be good to have for the Aboriginal community, and, you know, having our own record labels, you know, kind of like that type of thing. But you're doing it because you're doing the security, you know, like you've got your, with your chasm,
well, yeah, you established. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
That idea.
There have been discussions along that path in relation to with different leaders and communities to support that idea and principle. It's very because of some of the politics which gets involved in, and I personally can't comment on what's going on, but on a professional basis, there are people who are trying to set up a one venue shop where we can have people in relation to entertainment, gatherings of the tribes on the cultural events, put on a community show for the wider community, and showing and promoting Aboriginal talent, not just in this state, but also right across the country on many levels. Now, SAS, the Aboriginal South Australian Aboriginal Security Team, has worked alongside police, army, and other security firms on an international level. We was asked to do the Olympic Games in, here in Sydney when it was on, and we would like to say it was done based on our own merits that we achieved in the professional circle.
Yeah.
And we didn't ask to be a part of it. They approached us, and of course we took the opportunity and to promote the South Australian Aboriginal Security Team on an international level. I say to Aboriginal people, if there's an opportunity for you to excel in any of those fields in regards to managing, organising, art, music, promoting the culture, whether it's on the state or international level, whether on a state or international level, then I say take the opportunity to do so, because you don't know who's going to be watching and listening.
That's correct. Okay, is there anything else you want to add? Just because you talked about, you know, your, the chasm being how they actually, you know, in the first place, worked in partnership with the community, you know, kind of like they had, and how that's, I think that's at the one of the really important points about chasm is that they've always worked with the community. You know, and that's why I think why it's been so is and has been so successful.
Well, well, me and the brother were just talking outside there earlier, but we said, well, 33 years later, and well, we haven't seen anything change as in regards to chasm from a family point of view, because everybody that goes to chasm has look at each other as an extended family. And culturally, that fits perfectly for everybody, because and it's still good to see even to this day. It just needs to be more embraced by the wider community, as in regards to from a business point of view, for promotion for all people concerned.
Yeah. Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to add to the interview?
Lord, if it took 33 years to get to St. Milo Peace as a part of history for chasm, I'm happy to wait another 33 years, along with many other members who were in the past to be a part of this process. And I will say, I know without a shadow of a doubt that many of the students in the past who couldn't be here today and probably be here tomorrow when I'm not here, will say without a shadow of a doubt they will always show chasm as a part of their standard family and will always show support as a continuum of providing a service for the community.
Fantastic. Okay, thank you so much for taking the time out and having a chat to us, and thanks again, Kano.
Thank you very much. I wrote a poem, and it was one of the first ones that I wrote, and I said it to Aunty Lila many years ago, and she asked me to write it down, and so I did, and it became the 10th best poem in the world. And people don't know I'm a bit of a writer, but I tend to keep things like that to myself. But anyway, it's called Signs of Time. And it goes like this to all, and this is dedicated to all the students from the past and the present, as well as the teachers from the past and the present. And I continue to say this. For I must thank my Ramajari spirit for my mother, the earth, and I love her soul. My father, the wind, who was born free, just like the air that we still breathe. My sister, the moon, who can guide me through. And my brother, the sun, who shines upon me. And my love on the water, who should always be there when needed the most. We've got a chance to learn from the old ones. My brothers and sisters, it's up to you now. Come together as one. Nanyara.
Lovely. Thank you. Thanks, Kano.
You're welcome.
Brilliant. Okay.